Good morning, good morning. Open your Bible with me, please, to the book of Proverbs. We'll be in Proverbs a ton this morning. We're going to start there, going to stay there an awful lot. This is Proverbs 4, where I'm launching from this morning. Proverbs 4 and verse 7. Great to see you this morning. Lots happening today at the Westside Church of Christ. Lots of good things going on with our young people. I know you're excited about that. We've got folks visiting with us because of that. Just an exciting morning, a great morning for us. Good that you are here. Let's be in the Word of God. Maybe just a little quieter this morning in here without all the little ones, but oh, those little ones are so important. So important. I'm so thankful for our Vacation Bible School happening. Talk more about that in the 10:40 hour. But right now, Proverbs 4 and verse 7 says, the beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. I read recently about a young man, he just turned 30, Steve Jensen. He decided to invest $25,000, the most of his life savings, in the cryptocurrency market. It represented, as I said, more than half of his savings. He bought in a crypto called Cardano. He bought it at $2 a coin, and I should say here, someone's going to ask me afterwards to explain cryptocurrency. I can't, don't ask. But he bought $2 a coin. He said, I knew it was a risk. I saw so many people, though, that were making money fast off of cryptocurrencies, so I thought it was a good idea to buy some. He was wrong. Many investors like Steve Jensen went all in on crypto, but the crypto market went belly up. And as a result, his shares or coins or crypto fell from $2 a coin to 50 cents a coin, making his investment of $25,000 worth about $3,000. And since he had borrowed $5,000 against a credit card so he could buy more, he's even further away from even a break-even point. Now, I don't think it's wrong to buy cryptocurrency. Although since I don't really know anything about cryptocurrency, maybe, I don't know. It's not wrong to buy that kind of thing. But it's clear that that probably wasn't wise. It wasn't wise for him to do that. The Bible says in our text, get wisdom. And we see people all around us doing a lot of things like buying cryptocurrency or involving themselves in foolish behaviors that somebody then posts on the internet from their cell phone video. We just see a lot of people doing things that are not wise. They have failed to get wisdom. But an important question would be, well, how do you do that? The Bible says, get some wisdom, but Walmart is fresh out and Amazon won't put any on my doorstep. So while the Bible extols the value of wisdom, clearly somewhere in here we're thinking, yeah, I'd sure love to do that. How do I do that? I want to focus your attention on that this morning. I want us to think about getting what the Bible encourages so much of, getting wisdom. Wisdom is insight. It is discernment. It's the ability to see the causes and consequences of things from the beginning, not at the end. And I like that definition. Someone else has said, wisdom is knowledge and the ability to make right choices at the right time. That's pretty good. Knowledge and the ability to make right choices at the right time. One of my favorite Old Testament scholars says, wisdom is navigating life well despite its difficulties. You know, somebody who just goes through life and even though things are breaking loose and happening all around them, they just do well. They make right choices at the right time. They have wisdom. In a book that I read recently that helped me a lot with this sermon by Benjamin Quinn, a book called Walking in God's Wisdom, he defined wisdom as knowledge of God's world and the knack of fitting yourself into it. I like that. Knowledge of God's world and fitting into it. I think about Solomon. Remember the two women who are arguing over the baby in 1 Kings 4? There was a lot of knowledge there. Somebody had a baby and somebody was lying. I think Solomon knew that. Everybody knew that. But how do you use that knowledge to make the right choice at the right time? Solomon did that in a powerful way because he had so much wisdom. This morning I want to share with you four ideas, not three. This morning it's four. I want to share with you four ideas. I may say something unexpected here about Jesus in a moment, but I want to share with you four ways that all of us can get wisdom. And I've got some young people sitting here this morning, and I'm pretty glad about that. Because as you reach those teenage years and you begin to have to make some choices about where your life is going to go next, you want to make right choices at the right time. You want to have knowledge of God's world and you want to fit yourself into it. You want to navigate life well despite its difficulties. What you want to do is you want to get wisdom. And we're going to focus on that this morning from the book of Proverbs. Could I get you to step back to the beginning of Proverbs? In Proverbs chapter 1, if we're going to think about getting wisdom, the beginning of that is going to be in Proverbs chapter 1, where the proverb writer tells us, Solomon tells us this. Proverbs 1, please, beginning in verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing and righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple and knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. I like all of that, but somewhere in here now I'm at that, okay, I want it, yes. Yes, Solomon, sign me up for your course in wisdom. I'll take some. Where do I get that? Now Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Think about this. Notice particularly, again, young people, how this is especially addressed to the young. I've never known any young person who wanted to do dumb things. I've never known any young person who wanted to crash and burn in life. We want to make right choices at the right time. We want to navigate life well despite its difficulties. We want to fit into God's world. How do you do that? A beginning of this, Solomon says, verse 7, is the fear of the Lord. That is such an important concept that it is repeated again in Proverbs 9. There is a long section that opens the book of Proverbs that talks about the value and power of wisdom, gives some examples of that. So Proverbs 1 through chapter 9 is a section, and that section ends in Proverbs 9 and verse 10. And guess what Solomon says there? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He opens with fear of the Lord, closes that section, fear of the Lord, bookending those ideas there. In fact, the fear of the Lord is used more than 14 times in Proverbs. This matters. This is the keys in the ignition. This is what starts the car. Again, one of my favorite Old Testament scholars, Trimper Longman, says, the fear of the Lord is the first thought that makes all the other thoughts fall into place. I believe that is precisely what Solomon's trying to get across here. And don't get lost. Don't want to spend too much time. I'm not going to take a deep dive here on fear of the Lord. This is not the terror of God where we're shaking and quaking. God's power is immense and awesome and incredible. And yes, from time to time in the Old Testament, God actually strikes people dead. And so there is some element of that that causes us to take a big step back in the presence of God. But the fear of the Lord here is not the idea of being terrified of God. It is the idea of reverence, respect, honor. That's what we're going for here, that we would honor God. And I want to step back now to Proverbs 1 and verse 7. Let me show you something that's not off notice. Look again at verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And then he says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Wait. What's the linkage there? Those two things don't seem to go together. Line A, fear of the Lord, seems to just be saying some things, and then fools despise wisdom. How does that all go together? Well, part of the fear of the Lord, part of genuine reverence and awe, is the realization I don't know everything. I'm not the center of everything. I need help from others. You know what the hardest thing in the world to do is? Get Mark Roberts to eat broccoli. No, that's not the hardest thing in the world to do. What's the hardest thing in the world to do? Teach something to somebody who thinks he knows it all. How can you help somebody like that? If they already know everything there is to know, what are you gonna tell them? You can't do that. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Why? Because they don't have a reverence for God, Proverbs 1:7, the beginning there, a reverence for God which would cause them to humble themselves, be willing to learn, a reverence for God that would cause them to say, I don't know, I need to be instructed by the Lord. One writer said, pride has no place at wisdom's table. Until I'm willing to humble myself, I'm not going to be wise. Because I can't learn from God. I can't learn from anybody. A huge chunk of getting wisdom is humility. When we humble ourselves, when we reverence God, when we say, I'm not the center of everything, now and only now can we get wise. There can be no walking through life in the best way, navigating it despite all of its difficulties. There can be no making right choices in the right time if we don't start with the proper orientation toward God, who made life, who made the universe, who made you. God made everything. And the more we understand that and think on that and meditate on that and dwell on that, the more we are humbled. And of course, in very frank terms, that would just lead us to just always do what God says. Proper reverence for God would just say, I'm going to do what God tells me to do, which of course will always be the wise course. So in some ways, you know, don't cut me off in the back, guys, in the PowerPoint, but we just quit right there. We just quit right there. That's a huge, huge step toward wisdom. But let me share with you some more ideas. Let me suggest to you that we ought to look for the order of our world and live accordingly. In this opening section of Proverbs, if you look in Proverbs chapter 3 with me, there's an important idea about the creation of the world and how God has made the universe that we live in and that we dwell in. Notice in Proverbs chapter 3, in verse 19 and 20, the Lord, in Proverbs 3:19, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth, and by understanding he established the heavens, and by his knowledge the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew. I think this is more than a description of how God made the world in such an incredible way. This tells us something about our world itself. Wisdom is built into our world. Wisdom is part of the universe that we inhabit because our world was made by a wise God. And so a lot can be learned by observing our world, by looking for the wisdom that God has stitched into the fabric of the universe. And the proverb writer Solomon, he regularly will say that kind of stuff. Look around you, and you can learn some things, and you'll get wiser if you'll observe the wisdom that God has planted in our universe. So, for example, in Proverbs chapter 6, look at verse 6. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6, Solomon says this, go to the ant, O sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise. I've never looked at ants and thought, now there's some wisdom going on right there. But Solomon says there is. Now, how did ants get wise? Well, they read Proverbs. No. Ants got wise because God made them wise. God made them that way. And we watch their wise behavior. Solomon says, you could learn from that. Go to the ants and consider her ways. You'll be wise if you'll do that, because Proverbs 6:7, without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in the harvest. So how long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? When will you stop binge-watching Netflix? Oh, wait, that's not in the text. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. Go and look at nature, and you'll learn some things about work and about preparing yourself, and that will cause you to have some wisdom about how you need to live your life. It'll change you if you will observe the order of our world, the order that God has placed there. Now, I should be clear when I start talking about the wisdom in the world. There is a worldly wisdom. James talks about that in James chapter 3. We want no part of that. But again, there is a wisdom that is part of what God has made. And we need to go look for that. We need to go pay attention to that. Solomon will say that sort of thing over and over in chapter 17, in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 12. In Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 12, let a man meet a she-bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. How come mama bear acts like a mama bear? Because God made mama bear to do that. And when we watch mama bear, we can learn some things about what you don't want to get messed up with and what you don't want to meddle in the middle of. Again, in Proverbs chapter 30, here Solomon says this in Proverbs chapter 30, there in verse 24. Four things on earth are small, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong. Solomon liked ants. There were no fire ants in Israel, would be my guess. The ants are a people not strong, yet they provide their food in the summer. Rock badgers are a people not mighty. They make their homes in the cliffs. Locusts have no king. They all march in ranks. Lizards, you can take them in your hands, yet they are in the king's palace. Again, the natural world shows us something about God's ways. Are you paying attention to that? You go into that class in wisdom that God has provided for us. There are animals that skillfully master life. They navigate life well despite a lot of difficulties like not having opposable thumbs or being able to use a smartphone. How do they do that? Well, they do that because God made them filled with His wisdom. In fact, there isn't anything in nature that apart from human interference, pollution, and other problems that we generate, that doesn't function exactly the way God made it to, that doesn't navigate life well. And so Solomon says we can learn from that. If we'll go to nature's class, we can learn. So for example, the cycle of the seasons, day and night, summer, fall, winter, spring, could teach us something about the need for rest. Could teach us something about patterns of how one thing leads to another. What about going to the honeybees? Everybody in the hive has a job. Not everybody's the queen. Everybody's filling their role. See how these lessons are all around us? God has made an incredible world for us to observe. And that should most certainly cause us to worship God and appreciate His majesty and power. That's Psalm 19. That's Romans 1. But the next step beyond that is to say, wow, not only is God incredible because He made all this stuff, the way He made it could actually teach me some things about how to live in this world. And maybe one of the ways that that could be done is by talking to some other people, asking for counsel, asking for advice. What do you see in this universe? What have you learned in your life? If I could go back to our opening text, we started in chapter 1 and read down through verse 7. Let's add verse 8 to the conversation. Proverbs 1 now and in verse 8. This is a repeated refrain in the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs 1 and verse 8, hear my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. A lot of wisdom, knowledge, and ability to make right choices at the right time. A lot of that comes when you didn't make the right choice at the right time. That business of navigating life well despite its difficulties. Sometimes you learn how to steer your life better when you hit the rocks a couple of times. But here's an important question, particularly for young people. Do you have to make all the mistakes yourself? Or can you profit and learn from what somebody else did? Can you listen to instruction and receive some wisdom from somebody else? Let me tell you, I was there and I didn't see those rocks and so look out. Make sure you do this differently. Is that the kind of thing that I take into my life? Is that the kind of thing that helps me? I'll
just be straight up with you. That begins with mom and dad. Despite the fact that sometimes we think they're very, very much out of touch. And there are some technology things maybe sometimes that befuddle folks the older that they get. And so we may draw ourselves up with such pride and arrogance because we know how to do the settings on our iPhone. But navigating life well is about a lot more than your iPhone. Notice again our first value. If your mom and dad fear the Lord, they can become a mighty source of counsel and advice for you about how to know God's world and fit yourself into it. But the key to that is we've got to listen to that. God will bless us with a lot of wise people, not just moms and dads, but a lot of wise people who fear the Lord and who have life experiences that they will help us with if we will avail ourselves of that. People say, I need to get me some wisdom. How do I do that? Well, Solomon just talks about that all the time. Proverbs chapter 11, for example. Proverbs 11 and 14. I'm going to read about 500 verses here, so prepare yourself. Proverbs 11 and verse 14. Where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors there is safety. Do you collect an abundance of counselors? Are you just going it alone? What's the way of wisdom? How about Proverbs 13 now? In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, I love this verse. In Proverbs 13, 20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. Who are you hanging out with? You hanging out with foolish people? You'll be foolish. Sometimes as we talk about this sort of thing particularly, maybe what we envision is a sit-down conversation. I'm facing this choice in my life, and I need some counsel. Let's get a cup of coffee. I want to talk to you about that. And that may certainly be part of this. But what Proverbs 13:20 talks about is that if I'll just be around wise people, it just begins to rub off. It just begins to rub off because I see how they do. And I may not even say, whoa, you sure are wise. I never would have done it that way. Just being around someone who is wise cause you to be wise. Many, many years ago, I became friends with Doug Simmons. Miss Doug a lot. We worked on cars a lot. Doug had a lot of experience with that. So I carried my car over to his garage, pulled it in there, getting ready to do some work that Doug knew how to do, and jacked the car up. I slid into the car. Doug said, wait a minute. He said, you need to put jack stand under that car. Cars fall off jacks all the time. Jacks break. You'll squish you. You need to put a jack stand under there, a safety measure. I said, I'm just going to be under there for a second. We don't need that. Doug said, in my garage, we use jack stands. If you're not going to use jack stand, you take your car to your garage. But if we're going to work on this car here, we're going to put a jack stand underneath it. I got a jack stand. I probably spent 1,000 hours under a car since that day. I put a jack stand under a car every single time. Do you know how many times my car's fallen on me and squashed me like a bug? Never. Always use a jack stand. Sometimes I use two because my Jeep is really heavy. And I think about Doug. That was wise. That was wise. You walk with the wise. You just pick stuff up. You just get stuff. Sometimes you get stuff very directed at you. But you'll pick up those ideas that you need. In Proverbs 19, in Proverbs 19 and verse 20, Listen to advice and accept instruction, that you may gain wisdom in the future. The kicker to all of this is you have to listen. You have to listen when you're told. If you get mad, take your car and go home, not using a jack stand. You're never going to get wise. Not going to benefit you. And what you see in this building Sunday after Wednesday after Sunday is just a ton of people who fear the Lord and who have a lot of experience navigating life and navigating life well. The question is, are you walking with those people? You spending time with those people? And yes, in moments when you're facing a big decision, do you grab somebody, an elder, an elder's wife, someone with a lot of silver in their hair, even if they're not an elder, and say, I want to talk to you about something. Just get your feedback on what to do about that. The kicker to that, of course, is you'll need to act on that counsel. You'll need to act on that counsel. In chapter 5, Solomon counsels a young man about not getting involved in sexual immorality, not following after the wicked woman. In Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 13, that young man didn't listen. And he says, Proverbs 5 and 13, I didn't listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors, and so now I'm at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. You got to listen and you got to do. Because wise people, well, this is just part of being wise, they don't waste time. And they're not going to waste their time with you if after several sessions where they tried to share with you some counsel, try to help you navigate life well through its difficulties, you never do any of that stuff. Why then would they want to spend time with someone like that? Wise people don't want to be around fools. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 31, there Solomon says, the ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. With all the technology that we have today, there's no shortage of knowledge. There's no shortage of instruction. You can go on YouTube and learn just about anything. It's amazing to me. But I am somewhat flummoxed that when it comes to making life choices, so often people Google the interwebs, see what someone says in their blog, and they immediately adopt 10 things to help with raising kids, 5 ways to get ahead at work, but they never consult the in-person wisdom and counsel of those who fear the Lord, who are in their midst, who are part of the congregation, who are available by the providence of God to them. We will listen to a podcast and do whatever the podcaster says, maybe irrespective of whether that individual fears the Lord. Oh, this is the advice and counsel I need. But we don't avail ourselves of our parents, an aunt or an uncle, some grandparents, the elders, a brother in Christ, a sister in the Lord. We want to ask for counsel and advice from those who are godly, those who are centered on the Lord. They can help us. Sometimes they will help us by telling us, I didn't do this, and life didn't go well. Make sure you watch out for that. And as a result, the ear that listens, verse 31, will dwell among the wise. Let me say then, finally, something outside of Proverbs. I need to step over to Matthew 7. I'm going to suggest to you this morning that a huge source of wisdom is Jesus the Christ. And I'd have to say that this is not something that I have given enough thought and attention to, but listen to Jesus in Matthew 7 and verse 24. In Matthew 7 and verse 24, there, Matthew 7 and 24, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man. Well, I'd like that. I'd like to be like a wise man, wouldn't I? Yeah. Yeah, if you listen to what I say and you do what I say, then you're like the wise man who built his house upon the rock and the rains fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it didn't fall because it had been founded on the rock because he made right choices at the right time. because he understood the order of God's world and how to fit himself into it. He was navigating life well. Notice there's difficulties in verse 25. Rain is falling, floods are coming. He's navigating life well. That man is wise. He's not like the foolish guy, verse 26, the one who hears these words of mine and does not do them. That's the foolish man, built his house on the sand, rains fell, floods came, winds blew, beat against the house, it fell, and great was the fall of it. If you listen carefully right about now, they're probably, yeah, because there's a little song about this. But the emphasis in Matthew 7, 24 to 27 is that wise people act differently, wise people make better choices, wise people navigate life better because they listen and do what Jesus says. Jesus is a great source of wisdom. You think about Jesus in that way? I'm pretty prone for saying that Jesus is not just a wise sage, and that's how so many people view him today, but that doesn't mean he is much more than a wise sage. He is the Son of God. But that doesn't mean that he is not wise and a source of tremendous wisdom. Remember what we said about how the world itself is made with wisdom? In Proverbs chapter 8, just hold your place in Matthew. Let me get a little bit more of that. In Proverbs chapter 8, there Solomon has a marvelous section about wisdom in Proverbs 8 and verse 1. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? How is wisdom calling? How is wisdom raising her voice? In verse 22, ages ago, this is wisdom personified, I was set up at the first before the beginning of the earth when there was no depths. I'm sorry, I need to start in verse 22. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His work, the first of His acts of old. So here's wisdom speaking. And now, verse 23, ages ago I was set up at the first, but from the beginning of the earth, when there were no depths I was brought forth, when there was no springs abounding with water, before mountains had been shaped, before the hills were, I was brought forth, before He made the earth with its fields, and the first of the dust of the world, when He established the heavens, I was there. Wisdom is all about creation and how God made all of those things. Well, look at John chapter 1. Look at John chapter 1. As we think about Jesus as a source for wisdom, what does John tell us about Jesus and creation? In John chapter 1, there, John's powerful gospel begins with, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He's in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. The wisdom, step two, that is stitched into our world comes from Jesus, who is the wisdom of God. Paul so says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, as Paul has much to say about worldly wisdom and not getting caught up in all of that, notice he says here in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 24, to those who were called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God. I thought a lot about that. And then he says, Christ is the wisdom of God. I need to think more about that. In Colossians chapter 2, in Colossians chapter 2, Paul will sound that note again when he says this. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2, I want your hearts to be encouraged. I want your hearts to be knit together in love, Colossians 2:2, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Jesus is all wisdom. So when we read our Bible, particularly when we're reading the gospel, one of the things that we want to look for is how Jesus personifies wisdom. How Jesus is the wise way to act. How Jesus always acts in wisdom. How Jesus shows what wisdom looks like. Jesus is the source of wisdom itself. And then we need to be reminded that Jesus doesn't just say, the one who hears my teaching. Now that'll make you wise. No, the one who hears and does is the wise man. So the more we watch Jesus and the more we act like Jesus, the wiser we will become. Last year when we read in the Gospels and spent the year with Jesus, one of our questions that we asked was, how does Jesus handle people? And that was really a breakthrough question in many ways for so many of us as we think about our own dealings. Maybe the next time we make a pass through the Gospels, what we need to ask is, what is Jesus doing here that's wise? How is Jesus showing us the right way to navigate life? How is Jesus showing how to make right choices at the right time? How is Jesus showing us God's order and how to fit ourselves into it? How is Jesus teaching us wisdom? Now, I'm going to guess that just as cryptocurrency has taken in many, tomorrow there will be another foolish investment that everybody seems to be getting rich off of, and many people will throw away their money and lose everything because something that is too good to be true quite often is. But we will not get caught up in foolishness with our money as we try to be good stewards of what God blesses us, with our time, with our choices. If we will avail ourselves of the wisdom that God makes available to us through the fear of God, as we humble ourselves to listen to God in His way, as we seek the counsel of nature and the order of our universe to teach us, and as we learn by asking someone else, what would you do here? By watching them, I see now a better way to do that. And especially as we pay attention to Jesus the Son, wisdom embodied and among us. What we need now is not more information, facts. No, Siri and Alexa and Google, they have that covered for you. What we need is knowledge and knowing how to use it. What we need is to get wisdom. Let's pray about that. Would you pray with me, please? Oh, Lord our God, we humble ourselves before You, acknowledging that we are not wise, but You are the source of all wisdom through Your Son. We ask, Father, that You would humble us, that we would learn from You. We ask, Father, that You would bless us with wise friends, counselors, advisors, that we would walk among them and learn to be wise. Help us to see the patterns that You have placed in Your world that would instruct us if we will open our eyes to learn from them. And especially, Father, help us to see that in Your Son is Your wisdom. Help us to learn from Him and do what He teaches us. We ask for wisdom, and we ask especially for our elders and shepherds, that they would have wisdom, courage, and perseverance as they lead this church. In Christ we pray, and amen.